The Torrents of Spring, a romantic novel in honor of the passing of a great race, by Ernest Hemingway. Part 1. And perhaps there is one reason why a comic writer should of all others be the least excused for deviating from nature, since it may not always be easy for a serious poet to meet with the great and the admirable. But life everywhere furnishes an accurate observer with the ridiculous. Henry Fielding. Part 1. Red and Black Laughter, Chapters 1 through 5. The only source of the true ridiculous, as it appears to me, is affectation. Henry Fielding. Chapter 1. Yogi Johnson stood looking out of the window of a big pump factory in Michigan. Spring would soon be here. Could it be that that was what this writing fellow Hutchinson had said? If winter comes, can spring be far behind? Would it be true again this year? Yogi Johnson wondered. Near Yogi, at the next window but one, stood Scripps O'Neill, a tall, lean man with a tall, lean face. Both stood and looked out at the empty yard of the pump factory. Snow covered the crated pumps that would soon be shipped away. Once the spring should come and the snow melt, workmen from the factory would break out the pumps from piles where they were snowed in and haul them down to the GR and I station, where they would be loaded on flat cars and shipped away. Yogi Johnson looked out of the window at the snowed-in pumps, and his breath made little fairy tracings on the cold window pane. Yogi Johnson thought of Paris. Perhaps it was the little fairy tracings that reminded him of the gay city where he had once spent 2 weeks. 2 weeks that were to have been the happiest weeks of his life. That was all behind him now. That and everything else. Scripps O'Neill had two wives. As he looked out of the window, standing tall and lean and resilient with his own tenuous hardness, he thought of both of them. One lived in Mancelona, and the other lived in Petoskey. He had not seen the wife who lived in Mancelona since last spring. He looked out at the snow-covered pump yards and thought what spring would mean. With his wife in Mancelona, Scripps often got drunk. When he was drunk, he and his wife were happy. They would go down together to the railway station and walk out along the tracks, and then sit together and drink and watch the trains go by. They would sit under a pine tree on a little hill that overlooked the railway and drink. Sometimes they drank all night. Sometimes they drank for a week at a time. It did them good. It made Scripps strong. Scripps had a daughter whom he playfully called Lousy O'Neill. Her real name was Lucy O'Neill. One night after Scripps and his old woman had been out drinking on the railroad line for 3 or 4 days, he lost his wife. He didn't know where she was. When he came to himself, everything was dark. He walked along the railroad track toward town. The ties were stiff and hard under his feet. He tried walking on the rails. He couldn't do it. He had the dope on that, all right. He went back to walking along the ties. It was a long way into town. Finally came to where he could see the lights of the switch yard. He cut away from the tracks and passed the Mancelona High School. It was a yellow brick building. There was nothing rococo about it, like the buildings he had seen in Paris. No, he had never been in Paris. That was not he. That was his friend Yogi Johnson. Yogi Johnson looked out of the window. Soon it would be time to shut the pump factory for the night. He opened the window carefully, just a crack, but that was enough. Outside in the yard, the snow had begun to melt. A warm breeze was blowing. A Chinook wind, the pump fellows called it. The warm Chinook wind came in through the window into the pump factory. All the workmen laid down their tools. Many of them were Indians. The foreman was a short, iron-jawed man. He had once made a trip as far as Duluth. Duluth was far across the blue waters of the lake in the hills of Minnesota. A wonderful thing had happened to him there. The foreman put his finger in his mouth to moisten it and held it up in the air. He felt the warm breeze on his finger. He shook his head ruefully and smiled at the men, a little grimly, perhaps. "Well, it's a regular Chinook, boys," he said. Silently, for the most part.